But obviously the track record isn't the same as it is with some of those other guys. So they really need to win on Canes Day. They really need to win on Bumgarner's Day. Those guys really need to carry a big load because they don't have Ryan Vogelsong doing what he did last year. So, you know, they've done that the last 2 days. I mean, really, really struggled on the road all season. But now all of a sudden you look up, last two games, they've outscored the opponent 16-0, out-hit them 28-6, and look pretty dominant. So, you know, very, very refreshing, I think, for all the folks around here to see the team play that way back-to-back on the road.
Yeah, absolutely. It's no mystery. When they pitch, they're terrific. And but I'll tell you the other thing, and I tweeted to you last night, or I sent it on text, I forget when, but I like the offense. You know, when bench players play and they start to hit like regulars, this is good for two reasons. One, they're picking you up right now. And two, if they go back to being bench players, you now have effective people off the bench. And Posey is as hot as anything. He loves hitting against Atlanta. Pence, as you said, should be an all-star. Bochy's got some say in that. I like this offense right now.
You know what? You texted that to me yesterday, and I mentioned to Alex Pavlovich that what you had said, and he starts looking for your Twitter feed, and he says, I don't see where Marty tweeted that. And I said, oh, no, that was a private message. And so I think he's a little slighted that you're texting me and not him.
We'll
so
get him on tomorrow.
You might want to text him a few private thoughts so he knows he's in your good graces. But no, you're right. I was thinking the same thing. Even though they're missing those top three hitters in that lineup, I started to do the math on what the number one through three hitters have done on this road trip. It's pretty outstanding. You know, you look up the other day in Pittsburgh, and Blanco and Crawford both got on base four times in the 1-2 spots. And Blanco's been terrific. And we saw when Pagan went down and Blanco was struggling just how much the offense struggled. And now that Blanco's picked it up, that really seems to have kick-started everybody. And I like what I've seen from Tony Abreu thus far. He can swing the bat, and looks like he's running pretty good, too. So that's a good sign.
And they scored him. They scored him on that double.
From first base. Yeah. I saw the same thing, yeah. So, you know, you're right. As you introduce these guys and they get some success, all of a sudden you've got more options. And you feel like there are ways you can pivot when somebody goes down. And that's for a few days there, I'm sure Bruce Bochy didn't feel too confident. Now maybe he feels a little better.
Yeah, tough matchup today with Mike Minor. He is one of the outstanding pitchers in baseball. His only two losses are to American League teams, and this guy is very, very good. Somehow the Giants do well against lefties. I still can't figure it out. And this is a nice matchup, Godin and Mike Minor. But my question to you is this. Why at 4 o'clock in Atlanta? Why are they starting the game at 4 there?
Why is it at 4? Oh, gosh, there was a reason for it, and I forgot.
Right. You can text it later.
I don't remember. I don't quite remember the reason it's 4 o'clock. Was it MLB Network was going to pick up the game? I don't quite remember. Usually game times are dictated by TV. That's pretty much the simplest way to think about it shorthand wise.
Yeah, that's sort of a nice time down there. I mean, you know, 5:30 you get the shadows starting, but you know, it's June, 4 o'clock. It should be pleasant, I would imagine.
Yeah, it'll be a little hotter than it would be for a night game, obviously. But you know, we're not sweltering here, so. You know, and it's good. And he seems to be fine to pitch in any weather, in any conditions, in any uniform. He's worn about 10 of them. So, you know, he seems to be a guy who's not really fazed by anything. And you know what's funny is Bumgarner yesterday, we all kind of noticed after he gave up that hit in the sixth inning, he was just like, okay, back to work. You know, it didn't seem to bother him at all. I wrote on CSNBayArea.com that he was on the last bus that left the hotel, and the team is staying up in Buckhead. It's about 11 miles north. They usually stay downtown, but they're in Buckhead this time, and they got stuck in traffic. The last bus did, and it just had the broadcasters and Bumgarner on it, but it took them an hour to get to the ballpark to go 11 miles. And I asked Dave Fleming, I said, how was Bum? And he said, oh, he was fine. He just fell asleep.
Okay.
So they rolled in right pretty much as the team went out to stretch, as late as I can ever remember a bus arriving.
That's
and Bumgarner starting that day, you'd think he'd be getting a little antsy, as, you know, start his prep work and everything else he's got to do. And nope, he just fell asleep.
Yeah.
So that's Madison for you.
Absolutely terrific. I loved watching the game last night. He was on, as he said, when did you think about the no-hitter? He said, after the first out. I like that. That's a good answer. But I will tell you this. I thought the ball should have been caught, that pop-up. You know, everyone started looking at each other. And it's a no-hitter on the line. You got to go for it.
Well, and we asked Gregor Blanco about that, and he said, yeah, you know, one of us should have dived. And the reason that he didn't is because he couldn't hear if Pence was calling for it, and he hadn't called for it because he wanted to see if Pence would. It was just one of those in-between balls. And he was thinking, if I don't know what this guy is doing, and I dive, and he dives, and we conk heads, you know, there might be an ambulance on the field. So, you know, I think self-preservation goes into it a little bit. But, you know, I once covered Odalis Perez with the Dodgers, and he had a no-hitter in the seventh inning, and it was a ball right in front of Sean Green in right field, and he didn't dive for it. He played it off a hop at Wrigley Field. I could not believe it. I really could not believe that Sean Green didn't dive for that ball. And you're right, even though Blanco didn't dive because he was afraid he might crash into Pence, and Pence is usually moving at a pretty decent rate of speed, so, you know, you risk injury when you do that. He still regretted not diving. So.
Yeah. No,
just one of those balls that fell in.
Yeah, it was a great game. I mean, for Bumgarner, just an outstanding game. And, you know, that Atlanta swings at everything. And they got a lot of good calls. The pitchers did last night from Gary Darling. So it was a perfect game, really, for Bumgarner. I thought he really pitched well. Andy, what's up with Scudero? What do you think is going to happen with him?
Well, they're still in wait-and-see mode with him a little bit. You know, he's feeling good enough, the swelling's down, the pain's down, that he put a glove on and he was playing catch. And you know, I forget who he was playing catch with. Might have been Pablo or Roberto Kelly, I think. But, you know, the throws were popping the glove pretty good, and he didn't mind catching them. But obviously he's got to wear that splint on his finger to keep that last knuckle on his pinky straight. And if he doesn't do that, and that tendon's just not going to heal, and he's going to have that mallet finger for the rest of his life, which, you know, is not the worst thing in the world functional-wise to have a pinky that's not 100% straight. So, you know, it looks like he's ready to do some baseball stuff. The way he bats, you know, the pinky is below the knob, which is why he got hit the way he did. So he thinks it's not going to be a problem for him to hit, but they do want to fit him for a special orthotic type splint, something that's going to be really unobtrusive, something that's going to be lightweight, and he can, it won't get in his way. He's going to be fitted for that when the team gets back to San Francisco, and we'll see if he can play Monday. If they get into about maybe Wednesday and he's still not able to play, then they might look at the DL, because you've just, you know, stacked up enough days that it makes a little more sense. But for now, the plan is to see how he feels on Monday and see if he can, just how quickly he can get back out there.
Well, just have him shake hands with a few old catchers, and he can take a look at their fingers and see what really can happen. I never looked at Bochy's hands. Are his fingers all bent?
You know, I'm not sure. Scudero said a couple of his other fingers are bent, so, you know, it's pretty common. A lot of guys have this, you know, not only athletes, but just people who, you know, go through everyday life. I had one Twitter follower emailed me and said, I've got this, and you know what? It hasn't impacted me 1 minute of one day of my life. So, you know, you never want a deformity to last. You know, you only have thin fingers, but, you know, I think Scudero's like, well, look, if this thing doesn't stay straight, then it's not the end of the world.
No, well, let him shake hands with Ray Fossey. If you want to see fingers going in different directions. That's the real Ray Fossey, not even the fake Ray Fossey. That's the real one. Andy Packerly with us from Atlanta. How do you like this division? Now, I was with you last week in Arizona. I watched the Arizona Dodgers series. I was still down in Arizona this week. I watched the Arizona Padre game. I can tell you what my life has turned into last night after watching the Giant game. This division is kind of interesting. You got injuries all over the place, and whoever seems to get good pitching will make the move.
No, I agree. I think you're right. And, you know, teams, momentum is so funny in this game, isn't it?
Yeah.
The Rockies are doing what they're doing. And I'm thinking, you know, if Tulo and Cargo stay healthy, they might be a factor. And then boom, Cargo or Tulo goes
they
down.
They both went down. Rip. Yeah.
And it's just, I even, as much as I ran the risk of filling up people's timelines, I tweeted a list of all the NL West players on the DL. And I had to do it in five separate tweets. There's so many of them.
I know.
But it's just crazy. You could make an all-star team out of all of the players in the NL West that are on the DL. And I think that's one of the reasons that nobody in the division has really taken off, you know, the way that the Braves have or the Cardinals have or some of these other clubs, you know, to really separate themselves. So, You know, and it was telling that the last two nights, Bumgarner and Kane, they both said very similar things after their starts. They said, okay, you know we've got to have more pride as a rotation. We know we've got to start looking at the second half, and this is where we make our push. And it's getting time to think that way. And they said that after wins, dominant wins, not losses. So that tells you that they recognize the opportunity is there, too. This division is absolutely there for the taking.
Yeah, it is. 96 games to go. Andy Baggerly with us. And the other thing I said over the weekend when you guys were there and you were nice enough to be on the show with me and Alex as well, they have to remember they're world champions. And after that crushing defeat on Friday night, the Affeldt home run to Goldschmidt, I said that Saturday. I said, hey, this team, they're world champions. And when they get pushed a little bit, especially the pitchers, they understand who they are. And I think what you just said is what I'm saying. They're world champions, and they understand it.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's remembering who you are. And not only that, they've been in this position once before. And if they had Buster Posey healthy, they might have even been able to, you know, stick their chest out as defending champions a little better 2 years ago. But, days like the last two nights, they look like defending champions. That's what they look like, and that's what they are. And, you know, they brought the whole team back for a reason, and they are challenged depth-wise in a lot of areas. When some of these guys hit and Posey gets going, they can score enough runs. They have pretty much all year. And it's still a pitching and defense team, and they're starting to really tighten it up and play better ball overall. And that's why one more win, and they're going to have a winning record on this road trip that was supposed to bury them. So
how about that?
They got to feel good about that.
All right, Andy, thank you so much. Tell Alex I will absolutely text him today something private. I will tell him
that.
And we'll get him on tomorrow.
I'm sure he'll feel good about that.
All right. Hey, look, he carried your bag last week. He's still telling me about that when you were on the phone with us. So,
Marty, anything for you.
I know. You're the best. Andy Baggerly, CSN Bags with two Gs. Andy, thanks so much. Have a good day, and we'll follow you, of course, on Twitter.
Okay, thanks, Marty.
All right, thank you. Boy, I love being on with Andy. That is a baseball discussion. First class. All right, 808 KMBR. We can take some calls. We've got a good show for you. And today is the 50th anniversary of Juan Marichal's no-hitter against the Houston Colt 45s, and we're going to have a little discussion with Juan Marichal later on today in the 11 o'clock hour. Our good friend Chris Maraveda sent me a long email about it, and a wonderful email, which I'll read to you. Elizabeth Chapman is going to join us, a terrific poet, wonderful, an ode to baseball, to radio broadcasting, and also to Matt Cain's Perfect Game, which we just had that anniversary on the 13th. So a lot going on this morning. Bruce Jenkins will be with us as well. Craig Elston, San Diego Padres radio broadcaster, will be with us. We'll have him give us a little preview of the Padres and Diamondbacks. So a lot of baseball this morning, and your calls too. I'm back.